اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل، نعم المولى ونعم النصير. أستغفر الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم الرحمن الرحيم ذو الجلال والإكرام وأتوب إليه. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم إني أسألك برحمتك التي وسعت كل شيء وبقوتك التي قهرت بها كل شيء وخضع لها كل شيء وذل لها كل شيء وبجبروتك التي غلبت بها كل شيء وبعزتك التي لا يقوم لها شيء وبعظمتك التي ملأت كل شيء وبسلطانك الذي على كل شيء وبوجهك الباقي بعد فناء كل شيء وبأسمائك التي ملأت أركان كل شيء وبعلمك الذي أحاط بكل شيء وبنور وجهك الذي أضاء له كل شيء يا نور يا قدوس يا نور يا قدوس يا نور يا قدوس يا أول الأولين ويا آخر الآخرين. اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تهتك العصام. اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تنزل النقام. اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تغير النعم. اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تحبس الدعاء، اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تقطع الرجاء، اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تنزل البلاء، اللهم اغفر لي كل ذنب أذنبته وكل خطيئة أخطأتها، اللهم إني أتقرب إليك بذكرك وأستشفع بك إلى نفسك، وأسألك بجودك أن تدنيني من قربك، وأن توزعني شكراك، وأن تلهمني ذكراك. اللهم إني أسألك سؤال خاضع متذلل خاشع، أن تسامحني وترحمني وتجعلني بقسمك راضيا قانعا وفي جميع الأحوال متواضعا. اللهم وأسألك سؤال من اشتدت فاقته وأنزل بك عند الشدائد حاجته وعظم فيما عندك رغبته. اللهم عظم سلطانك وعلى مكانك، وخفي مكروك وظهر أمرك، وغلب قهرك وجرت قدرتك، ولا يمكن الفرار من حكومتك. اللهم لا أجد لذنوبي غافرا ولا لقبائحي ساترا ولا لشيء من عملي القبيح بالحسن مبدلا غيرك. لا إله إلا أنت، سبحانك وبحمدك، ظلمت نفسي، ظلمت نفسي، ظلمت نفسي، وتجرأت بجهلي وسكنت إلى قديم ذكرك لي ومنك علي. اللهم مولاي، كم من قبيح سترته وكم من فادح من البلاء أقلته، وكم من عثار وقيته، وكم من مكروه دفعته، وكم من ثناء جميل لست أهلا له نشرته. اللهم عظم بلائي وأفرط بي سوء حالي وقصرت بي أعمالي وقعدت بي أغلالي وحبسني عن نفعي بعد أملي وخدعتني الدنيا بغرورها ونفسي بجنايتها ومطالي. يا سيدي، فأسألك بعزتك ألا يحجب عنك دعائي سوء عملي وفعالي، ولا تفضحني بخفي ما اطلعت عليه من سري، ولا تعاجلني بالعقوبة على ما عملته في خلواتي من سوء فعلي وإساءتي ودوام تفريطي وجهالتي وكثرة شهواتي وغفلتي. وكن اللهم بعزتك لي في كل الأحوال رؤوفا وعلي في جميع الأمور عطوفا. إلهي وربي من لي غيرك أسأله كشف ضري والنظر في أمري. إلهي ومولاي أجريت علي حكما اتبعت فيه هوى نفسي ولم أحترس فيه من تزيين عدوي، فغرني بما أهوى وأسعده على ذلك القضاء، فتجاوزت بما جرى علي من ذلك بعض حدودك وخالفت بعض أوامرك، فلك الحمد علي في جميع ذلك، ولا حجة لي فيما جرى علي فيه قضاءك، وألزمني حكمك وبلاءك. وقد أتيتك يا إلهي بعد تقصيري وإسرافي على نفسي معتذرا نادما منكسرا مستقيلا مستغفرا منيبا مقرا مذعنا معترفا لا أجد مفرا مما كان مني ولا مفزعا أتوجه إليه في أمري غير قبولك عذري وإدخالك إياي في سعة رحمتك. اللهم فاقبل عذري وارحم شدة ضري وفكني من شد وثاقي. يا رب ارحم ضعف بدني، يا رب ارحم ضعف بدني، يا رب ارحم ضعف بدني ورقة جلدي ودقة عظمي. يا من بدأ خلقي وذكري وتربيتي وبري وتغذيتي، هبني لابتداء كرمك وسالف برك بي يا إلهي وسيدي ومولاي. أتراك معذبي بنارك بعد توحيدك وبعد من طوى عليه قلبي من معرفتك ولهج به لساني من ذكرك واعتقده ضميري من حبك، وبعد صدق اعترافي ودعائي خاضعا لربوبيتك، هيهات أنت أكرم من أن تضيع من ربيته أو تبعد من أدنيته أو تشرد من آويته أو تسلم إلى البلاء من كفيته ورحمته. وليت شعري يا سيدي وإلهي ومولاي أتسلط النار على وجوه خرت لعظمتك ساجدة وعلى ألسن نطقت بتوحيدك صادقة وبشكرك مادحة وعلى قلوب اعترفت بإلهيتك محققة وعلى ضمائر حوت من العلم بك حتى صارت خاشعة وعلى جوارح سعت إلى أوطان تعبدك طائعة، وأشارت باستغفارك مذعنة. ما هكذا الظن بك، ولا أخبرنا بفضلك عنك يا كريم يا رب، وأنت تعلم ضعفي عن قليل من بلاء الدنيا وعقوباتها وما يجري فيها من المكاره على أهلها، على أن ذلك بلاء ومكروه، قليل مكثوه، يسير بقاؤه، قصير مدته، فكيف احتمالي لبلاء الآخرة وجليل وقوع المكاره فيها، وهو بلاء تطول مدته ويدوم مقامه ولا يخفف عن أهله، لأنه لا يكون إلا عن غضبك وانتقامك وسخطك، وهذا ما لا تقوم له السماوات والأرض يا سيدي، فكيف بي وأنا عبدك الضعيف الذليل الحقير المسكين المستكين. يا إلهي وربي وسيدي ومولاي، لأي الأمور إليك أشكو، ولما منها أضج وأبكي، لأليم العذاب وشدته أم لطول البلاء ومدته؟ فلئن صيرتني للعقوبات مع أعدائك وجمعت بيني وبين أهل بلائك وفرقت بيني وبين أحبائك وأوليائك، فهبني يا إلهي وسيدي ومولاي وربي، صبرت على عذابك فكيف أصبر على فراقك، وهبني صبرت على حر نارك فكيف أصبر عن النظر إلى كرامتك، أم كيف أسكن في النار ورجائي عفوك؟ فبعزتك يا سيدي ومولاي أقسم صادقا، لئن تركتني ناطقا لأضجن إليك بين أهلها ضجيج الآملين، ولأصرخن إليك صراخ المستصرخين، ولأبكين عليك بكاء الفاقدين، ولأناديانك أين كنت يا ولي المؤمنين يا غاية آمال العارفين يا غياث المستغيثين يا غياث المستغيثين يا غياث المستغيثين يا حبيب قلوب الصادقين ويا إله العالمين. أفتراك سبحانك يا إلهي وبحمدك تسمع فيها صوت عبد مسلم سجن فيها بمخالفته وذاق طعم عذابها بمعصيته وحبس بين أطباقها بجرمه وجريرته، وهو يضج إليك ضجيج مؤمل لرحمتك ويناديك بلسان أهل توحيدك ويتوسل إليك بربوبيتك يا مولاي، فكيف يبقى في العذاب وهو يرجو ما سلف من حلمك؟ أم كيف تؤلمه النار وهو يأمل فضلك ورحمتك؟ أم كيف يحرقه لهيبها وأنت تسمع صوته وترى مكانه؟ أم كيف يشتمل عليه زفيرها وأنت تعلم ضعفه؟ أم كيف يتقلقل بين أطباقها وأنت تعلم صدقه؟ أم كيف تزجره زبانيتها وهو يناديك يا رباه؟ أم كيف يرجو فضلك في عتقه منها فتتركه فيها؟ هيهات، ما ذلك الظن بك، ولا المعروف من فضلك، ولا مشبه لما عاملت به الموحدين من برك وإحسانك. فباليقين أقطعه لولا ما حكمت به من تعذيب جاحديك، وقضيت به من إخلاد معانديك، لجعلت النار كلها بردا وسلاما، وما كان لأحد فيها مقرا ومقاما. لكنك تقدست أسماؤك، أقسمت أن تملأها من الكافرين، من الجنة والناس أجمعين، وأن تخلد فيها المعاندين. وأنت جل ثناؤك قلت مبتدئا، وتطولت بالإنعام متكرما. أفمن كان مؤمنا كمن كان فاسقا؟ لا يستوون. إلهي وسيدي، فأسألك بالقدرة التي قدرتها وبالقضية التي حتمتها وحكمتها وغلبت من عليه أجريتها، أن تهب لي في هذه الليلة وفي هذه الساعة كل جرم أجرمته وكل ذنب أذنبته وكل قبيح أسررته وكل جهل عملته، كتمته أو أعلنته، أخفيته أو أظهرته، وكل سيئة أمرت بإثباتها الكرام الكاتبين الذين وكلتهم بحفظ ما يكون مني، وجعلتهم شهودا علي مع جوارحي، وكنت أنت الرقيب علي من ورائهم والشاهد لما خفي عنهم، وبرحمتك أخفيته وبفضلك سترته، وأن توفر حظي من كل خير أنزلته أو إحسان فضلته أو بر نشرته أو رزق بسطته أو ذنب تغفره أو خطأ تستره. يا ربي يا ربي يا رب، يا ربي يا ربي يا رب، يا ربي يا ربي يا رب. يا إلهي وسيدي ومولاي ومالك رقي، يا من بيده ناصيتي، يا عليما بضري ومسكنتي، يا خبيرا بفقري وفاقتي، يا ربي يا ربي يا رب، يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا ربي يا ربي يا رب، أسألك بحقك وقدسك وأعظم صفاتك وأسمائك أن تجعل أوقاتي من الليل والنهار بذكرك معمورة وبخدمتك موصولة وأعمالي عندك مقبولة حتى تكون أعمالي وأورادي كلها وردا واحدا وحالي في خدمتك سرمدا. يا سيدي يا من علي معولي، يا من إليه شكوت أحوالي، يا ربي يا ربي يا رب، يا ربي يا ربي يا رب، يا ربي يا ربي يا رب، قو على خدمتك جوارحي واشدد على العزيمة جوانحي، وهب لي الجد في خشيتك والدوام في الاتصال بخدمتك حتى أسرح إليك في ميادين السابقين وأسرع إليك في البارزين وأشتاق إلى قربك في المشتاقين وأدنو منك دنو المخلصين وأخافك مخافة الموقنين وأجتمع في جوارك مع المؤمنين. اللهم ومن أرادني بسوء فأرد، ومن كادني فكيد، واجعلني من أحسن عبيدك نصيبا عندك، وأقربهم منزلة منك، وأخصهم زلفة لديك، فإنه لا ينال ذلك إلا بفضلك، وجد لي بجودك، واعطف علي بمجدك، واحفظني برحمتك، واجعل لساني بذكرك لهجا، وقلبي بحبك متيما، ومن علي بحسن إجابتك، وأقلني عثرتي، واغفر زلتي، فإنك قضيت على عبادك بعبادتك، وأمرتهم بدعائك وضمنت لهم الإجابة، فإليك يا ربي نصبت وجهي، وإليك يا ربي مددت يدي، فبعزتك استجب لي دعائي وبلغني مناي، ولا تقطع من فضلك رجائي، واكفني شر الجن والإنس من أعدائي. يا سريع الرضا، يا سريع الرضا، يا سريع الرضا، اغفر لمن لا يملك إلا الدعاء، فإنك فعال لما تشاء، يا من اسمه دواء وذكره شفاء وطاعته غنى، ارحم من رأس ماله الرجاء وسلاحه البكاء، يا سابغ النعم، يا دافع النقم، يا نور المستوحشين في الظلم، يا عالما لا يعلم، صل على محمد وآل محمد، وافعل بنا ما أنت أهله، وصلى الله على رسوله والأئمة الميامين من آله، وسلم تسليما كثيرا.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، باعث الأنبياء والمرسلين، والصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد المرسلين حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الأطهار الطيبين الأبرار، لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين روحي وأرواح العالمين له الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening and the return of our Imam, let's recite the salawat. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. I'd like to congratulate all believers, especially the believers in Quds al-Sharif, in the occupied lands in Gaza, and above all the Mujahideen, both in the West Bank and also in Gaza, each of them in their own way, Hamas, Jihad al-Islami, the individuals that were active in the West Bank for this accomplishment, alhamdulillah. There was a time that the Zionist regime would decide whatever it wants to do in Masjid al-Aqsa or in Quds. And because of the wrong that some have done, and they will be responsible on the Day of Judgment and held accountable for doing that, causing the believers in the West Bank not to be armed, not to have the means to fight. Because of that, the Zionists would plan and execute, and there was little that could be done. And the believers in Gaza, although they would want to be more active, they again did not have the means. With the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the support of the Islamic Republic, the unity of the resistance, the connection between the believers throughout the Muslim world, and above all, the assistance of the Islamic Republic, the government of Muqawama, the believers in Gaza now have the means. And alhamdulillah, it was a difficult battle. All the shuhada on the side of the Palestinians, every person who lost their lives is a shaheed. قُلْ هَلْ تَرَبَّصُونَ بِنَا إِلَّا إِحْدَى الْحُسْنَيَيْنِ. There's one of two things that will happen for those who were martyred. They met Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the best state possible. And those who remained accomplished and saw the victory in this world. So while we are not happy about the number of people that have lost their lives, but we are happy about their resistance, about their unwavering willpower not to give in and to allow the Zionist regime to take more areas in Jerusalem, Al-Quds al-Sharif, and cause issues in Al-Masjid al-Aqsa. We are very thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this unity, this brotherhood that He has brought to the Muslimin, where they work together from whatever sect and school of thought they are. They understand the words of the Prophet that anyone who says "Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah" is a Muslim, and you should all be one hand against those who oppose you. We thank Allah for allowing us to live at a time where Shia and Sunni did not look at one saying "Ashhadu anna Aliyan waliyullah" or one not saying "Ashhadu anna Aliyan waliyullah," and they listened to what the Prophet said. He said, "Whoever says 'Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah,' Whether they choose to say Ashhadu anna Aliyan Waliullah, that does not cause them to be outside of Islam just because they said Ashhadu anna Aliyan Waliullah. And those who choose not to say Ashhadu anna Aliyan Waliullah, although based on the evidence it is something to say and something to believe, yet if they choose not to say it according to the Prophet, if they're saying Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, we should form one hand. It was one hand of the Ummah of the Prophet that was able to slap the Zionists and not allow them to continue with their aggression and to accomplish what they had set out to accomplish. It's that one hand, the unity. The brothers and sisters in Gaza uniting, and the leaders of Hamas and Jihad al-Islami seeing this line from the Prophet, believing in it, uniting with those who say Ashhadu anna Aliyan Waliullah, the Shia in the Islamic Republic and in Lebanon, and the Shia in Lebanon and in the Islamic Republic and in Iraq and in Yemen, and wherever they're at, they gave whatever they could. And that unity, that formation of one hand against the transgressors and oppressors, is what has caused us this great victory. I don't know those of you who have read and heard, alhamdulillah, those who haven't. The Zionists were forced to. They withdrew from their plans earlier, the plans that they had for Sheikh Jarrah or Jarrah in Jerusalem, that area. They were trying to confiscate the lands and take the homes and so on and so forth. They had to withdraw with that because of the efforts of the believers. And they had to withdraw from their plans for Al-Quds al-Sharif. And those had already happened with the attacks that Jihad al-Islami and Hamas, along with the believers in the West Bank and the various cities, all those shuhada, or great shuhada, all the people who resisted, their involvement. Those from Syria and Lebanon, we heard on and off news that they engaged in that. I don't know how true that was. We don't know. We haven't heard it be verified. There are some signs of truth, but they're still not verified, can't be certain. But whoever joined, in whatever capacity, in providing the preparations for any war that will happen, and otherwise, whatever way they helped, that led to the believers being prepared and engaging in battle. When they started attacking those areas and confiscating, the international media, the American media, the British media, the CNNs and Fox Newses and BBCs and Sky Newses and everything, all these different outlets governed and controlled by the Zionists one way or another, make it seem like what the Zionists did in Quds is, it's not wrong, but firing rockets is wrong. All aggressions start with the Zionists, with their very existence. Don't be distracted by that. Anyhow, with the response that the Muqawama gave from Gaza and from the West Bank, the believers, the young men and women who engaged in that resistance, especially in Al-Quds al-Sharif where it started, but also those who joined from other cities in the West Bank and also from Gaza, they stopped those first two. But then the Zionist regime started attacking Gaza, bombing it. Over 200 shuhada we had. A good number of them, women and children. Families lost their children. Families lost their mothers. Families lost their spouses. Husbands lost their wives. Women lost their husbands. But they were not willing to give up on the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They continued all the pressure. If Hamas and Jihad al-Islami would have stopped firing those rockets, what would have happened would have been that it would have signaled to the Zionists that, oh, these people are not willing to take hardship. So that would give them the message that they need to start bombing harder. They need to start killing more people. Because if they kill more people, that's going to cause the muqawama, the believers, the Palestinians, to withdraw. When they are firm and steadfast, as they did, they continued towards the end of that time before the ceasefire from the Israeli side. They had to engage in that, meaning they had to stop their firing towards Gaza, because they knew, obviously, the believers in Gaza, if you stop your aggressions, we're not going to continue with our response. We started firing because you all started confiscating lands, doing things in Masjid al-Aqsa. You started the aggression. If you stop that aggression, it goes back to status quo, then there's not going to be any firing back. But they were being threatened, and there were people amongst Muslimin, there were people amongst Arab leaders, there were people throughout the world that were signaling to the Palestinians that you should withdraw, you should stop firing in order for it to stop. That would have been a defeat and a very, very significant blow at the muqawama if they had withdrawn. If they had started the cease, if they had stopped firing, because again, that would have signaled to the Zionists that if you kill more of us, then we are going to move back. And that would have been a horrible message. That's what the Zionists need. The only language, as the leader said, the only language they understand is that of power, that of strength. The language that says an eye for an eye. If you step those boundaries that currently are there, we don't believe in them, but right now we're not going to fight you on the boundaries that you call Israel, okay? For whatever reason. If you overstep your boundaries, if you enter Palestinian homes in Al-Quds and you want to confiscate them and add to Israeli territory, that's not going to be tolerated. That's the strong message that came from the Muqawama, and that no matter how much you bomb, we will bomb stronger. We will develop better weapons, and we will attack, and we will make you pay. They had not fired on Tel Aviv up to this time, as far as I know. This was the first time that from Gaza, the rockets were targeting targets, not just shooting in that direction. No, they had targets in mind, and the weapons were effective. They had longer range, and they showed the Zionists that if you want to step it up, we are willing to step it up, but we're not going to give in to your aggression. You need to stop. And the Zionists have gotten weaker. This was a great victory for the Muqawama. We congratulate all Muslimin, Muslimat, followers of the Prophet for this victory for the Ummah. The last point I have to say in this regard is that there were some unfortunate things. There's the occasion in the calendar that the shrine in Baqi', the graveyard of Baqi' in Medina, was destroyed by the Wahhabis. Because of that, a very un-Islamic, un-Shia, unwise movement has been started. It's not a new thing. They developed this to counter the Quds rallies. They started this to make the Shia start feeling like they want to go against the Saudis. And there's a deliberate attempt being made to show the Saudi regime and the destruction of Baqi' to be something that has to do with tasannun, with being Sunni, with being non-Shia of the Muslimin. They try to connect those and to create this dislike between the Shia, or in the minds of the Shia, against non-Shia Muslims because of this. And while this had started earlier, It's been years now that they've started this. And you see that those leading this, when it comes to Quds, they have nothing to do with it. When it comes to the Islamic Republic, they have nothing to do with it. When it came to Daesh, they just followed whatever the Western media said. While that was all problematic, I saw in the recent days that this hype turned into something that was trying to cause a rift between the Muslimin. To make this an issue where Shia and Sunni have issues, arguments, debates, feel negative about each other. This effort, whether the person was mu'ammam or non-mu'ammam, black amama or whatever color amama they wear, whoever said this, whether they know it or not, some people are not very intelligent. They are very naive. Others are very careless. They don't really care to look into matters. What they care is about fame, about name. These are unfortunate things that are realities. And what I'm saying right now, these two things that some people are naive and some people are not very intelligent, they're more about, or they're careless, being non-intelligent or being non-careful is actually doing them a favor. This is not bad-mouthing them, because the other option, when we understand that this effort goes against the teaching of the Prophet that we just talked about earlier, forming one hand against man siwahum, against those who are opposing the Muslimin. That goes in stark contrast to the teachings of the Prophet. If the person who is saying this knows what they're doing, they are intelligent, and they are careful, they read, they look around, they therefore are aware what they're doing. If that would be the case, then they would be shayateen. They would be devils, okay? And I wouldn't want to feel that way towards mu'ammameen. I would hope that, inshallah, they weren't intelligent, at least in this case, or they weren't aware. They made comments out of carelessness, inshallah, it was that. Otherwise, if they were careful and they were knowledgeable and intelligent and understanding, then that was treason. And if that's the case, they are a'da'ullah. I hope that's not the case. Anyhow, that's the first point to note, that whether they know it or not, that is the voice of shaitan. That was the voice of shaitan. Whoever joined it was joining the call of shaitan against the imam of our time. That's the first point. The second point is, Wahhabism is not Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Wahhabism, and this is not bad-mouthing an ordinary person who identifies as Wahhabi. This is something to get clarification on. Wahhabism was something that was introduced in the Sunni world as a Sunni brand, but it wasn't from the Sunni world. It was from Britain. The same way that in the Shia world, there were a few that were created. Baha'ism was one of them. The Baha'is you see that are against Muslimin, predominantly Iranians, they came from Shia lands. But we're telling you, they're not Shia. Shia ulama say they're actually not even Muslim. They're kuffar. But the split came, that deviation came within the Shia context. They used to identify as Shia. Now they don't, alhamdulillah, because of the efforts. The British created these splinter groups within each of these. And ulama that are aware, Sunni ulama that are aware, they understand this. This is not a Shia Hausa student mentioning this. This is not a Shia Sunni thing. This is these are historic facts that people can refer to, and you can go online and find that ulama, Sunni ulama, be it in Azhar in Egypt, be it in Syria, be it elsewhere in the Muslim world, that are not paid for by the oil money of the Saudi dynasty, which is the money of the shayateen. They tell them, the British, the American tell them to spend it and to buy people. Those who are not affected by that. Anywhere you look, the ulama, they recognize. Wahhabism, the teachings of Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab were deviant teachings. It was not Islamic teachings. It didn't come from a Muslim thinker looking at the Quran and Hadith. Other schools of thought, these are different scholars, they've looked at Quran and Hadith, they have various views and so on and so forth. Wahhabism did not come from a Shia scholar or a Sunni scholar that looked at the Quran and Hadith. It was the British that influenced someone whose father and brother, who were Sunni ulama, recognized that he's deviant. And his brother, Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab's brother, was the first one to write a book against Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab. And he's not Shia. Faslul Khitab, the title of the book starts against his brother. One of my teachers translated the book to Farsi so that Farsi speakers realize that Wahhabism was not something that the Shia are against. It's not a Sunni Shia thing. Any Muslim should look into the matter and realize Wahhabism was a creation of the West. And therefore, the fatawa that come from the Wahhabi shuyukh of Saudi Arabia, who are actually, along with the Al Saud family, it's Al Sheikh and Al Saud, together they're ruling that country. Every crime that the Saudi family, the Al Saud family, commit in Saudi, what we call, unfortunately, Saudi Arabia, Al Sheikh, who are the progeny of Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, all of them are partners in crime. The fatawa that come, the anti-Islamic fatawa, that needs to be cleared up, and we need to understand. Now, this is the more important point is coming up. If the Saudis and if Al-Sheikh gave the fatawa to destroy Medina, to destroy the shrine in Medina, a shrine built by Muslimin, those in Medina, there are some Shia, there still are some Shia in Medina. There have been always Shia in Medina. But the majority of the people of Medina are not and were not Shia. They were Sunnis. They didn't have any issue with the shrines. They had them there. They would go there. There is a mosque in Egypt that is called Ra's al-Hussein. There is a masjid or some form of structure has been built commemorating the lady Zainab salamullahi alayha. Sunnis go to these places. They realize the teachings of the Prophet, it's been like that. It's not a Sunni Shia thing. The Wahhabi ideology is not a Sunni ideology. And if Al Saud went there and destroyed the shrines in Medina, it was not a Sunni ideology against the Shia. The Sunnis would visit the graves of the Ahlul Bayt there. The Sunnis would visit and do visit the shrine of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi. It is only the Wahhabi ideology that forbids people from doing that. And therefore, the Al-Sheikh and Al-Saud in Medina will hit on people, Sunnis, who want to go for the Tabarruk and touch the Dharih of the Holy Prophet. They don't allow it. At the time when they destroyed those, it was a British plot against Islam. The creation of Wahhabism was a plot against Islam, not against Tashayyu or this brand. It was against Islam. The destruction of the holy landmarks of the Muslimin, be it in Medina or in Karbala when they went over there, all of that was a British plot. A British plot. The same way that the Takfiris that blew up the shrine in Samarra, that was an American plot. It wasn't Sunnis. Most people in Samarra are Sunni. The dominant majority of Muslimin in Samarra are Sunni. But the shrine was there. The Khuddam of the shrine of Imamain al-Askariyain were Sunni. The shrine was there. Shias came, they visited. One of our Maraja, the famous, very well-known Mirza Shirazi, a couple hundred years ago, he moved from Najaf. He lived in Samarra. The majority of people there were Sunni. They didn't have any issue. Nobody blew up the shrine or the dome of... It was an American plot. If Daesh destroyed the shrine and the burial site of Hujr ibn Adi, and they threatened to blow up the shrine of the Lady Zainab salamullahi alayha in Damascus, that's not a Sunni thing. Most people in Damascus are Sunnis. They never had an issue with the shrine. It was an American plot against Islam. Against Islam. If we understand that, then we will understand how wrong this is to today start blowing this up and then portray it as though we're referring to Sunnis being responsible for that. La'natullah ala al-qawm al-zalimin. Anyone who suggests that it was Sunnis who did it is going to hell, unless they're unaware. Inshallah, as we said, the unintelligent. If they know what they're saying, reality isn't that. If they checked and saw that's not true and they said it, they're going to hell. In fact, if they were careless and they said something like that to influence the Muslimin, they will be held accountable on the Day of Judgment for causing fitna, even though they didn't check. You don't have a right to create fitna between Muslimin. And suggested, oh, those who... this, that, the other, referring to non-Shias for this, has nothing to do with that. And then in this context, a war against Muslimin, and then there's Sunnis on the front line fighting, and the Shias are supporting them, the Islamic Republic and Hezbollah, and then you with a turban on your head, black and white, you come out and, or black or white, whatever it is, I don't know. Non-Mu'ammam. In this context, you want to come and do this? Something that the British and the Americans did, blaming it on the Sunnis? When the Americans and the Zionists are attacking Muslimin, and Muslimin are united fighting them, you become the voice of the Americans, the fitna of the Americans and the Zionists, to create fitna and division between Sunni and Shia? You want to be like the ones who made Amir al-Mu'mineen lose battles when we are winning? This is no less than what the people on the side of Amir al-Mu'mineen, the Battle of Siffin, did. A battle that was won, alhamdulillah, of course, because of the sacrifice of Amir al-Mu'mineen and Imam al-Husayn, salamullah alayhima. Because of their sacrifice and the awareness of the mu'mineen that is due to their sacrifice, those events will not repeat themselves. This is the time of the victory of Islam. This is the time of the rise of Islam. This is the time that the enemies of Islam, the kuffar and the munafiqeen, can do whatever they want. The will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is وَنُرِيدُ أَن نَمُنَّ عَلَى الَّذِينَ اسْتُضْعِفُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَنَجْعَلَهُمْ أَئِمَّةِ وَنَجْعَلَهُمْ خُلَفَاءُ وَنَجْعَلَهُمْ أَئِمَّةِ. That wording at the end, I think I'm missing part of it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with. This is the time of the victory of Islam and the believers, and the mustada'afin, the oppressed people, were the majority of the people of the world. The majority, the dominant majority of the people of the world are mustada'afin. In whatever country. It's a time that the mustada'afin of mu'mineen and mu'minat and all mustada'afin are on the rise, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is granting victory. So you can dig your graves deeper, O kuffar and O munafiqeen. Munafiqeen. We hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects us from falling in the trap of the fitna of the munafiqeen. As we said, Islam is on the rise. What I fear is I jump off the boat. The ark of salvation is now including so many people. So the masses are pouring onto that ark of salvation. This is what is meant by the rise of the mustada'afin. All are going to join. The munafiqeen are going to cause some people who are on that ark right now to jump ship and to go off board and leave the path of Islam, the path of Allah, the path of the Prophet, which is now led by the Imam of our time, Ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assists us all. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hasten the return of our Imam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us be his true and close companions. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help all those who are helping his cause, especially the mujahideen, the ulama, the maraja, and above all, the leader. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us all of our sins. We ask him to forgive our parents, our grandparents, our relatives, all believers, those who are alive, those who have left this world. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant all of us and all believers worldwide our hajat, our needs, our requests. We ask Allah to relieve all people of the world of the pandemic, and also we ask Allah to relieve all the people of the world of the oppressions they're facing, inshallah. Bin Nabiya wa alihi rahimallah. من قرأ الفاتحة مع الصلوات